This conference is being recorded.
This is Don Hussig with Cancer Action Network. You're listening to Loving the Earth Pollution-Free Radio. Rena Bryan is a community pollution prevention activist in Ogdensburg, New York, a port city on the St. Lawrence River. Hoosier Magnetics Incorporated has poisoned the air in the surrounding neighborhoods of Ogdensburg for decades. The Bryan family has witnessed and been exposed to all of this. They are still fighting for clean air. They are still calling upon the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation to force Hoosier to use available air pollution control technology to decrease the emissions of this awful polluter. Good afternoon, Rena.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the problem your neighborhood is having with air pollution from Hoosier Magnetics, Inc.
Well, from the very beginning, they have felt that they don't need to follow guidelines from the DEC. They have been under four different consent orders because they have been putting out more of the particulates than their permits, their permits have allowed them. And subsequently, we have been bombarded with sulfur dioxide, actual particles of their process, including iron oxide and ferrous oxide. So there's times when we wake up and find red dust all over our neighborhood, or actually we can actually see the red dust coming from their factory at different times. And we've asked the DEC to help us, and sometimes they can and sometimes they can't.
What about, I was in Ogdensburg yesterday, and I always look off in that direction to see what the Hoosier emissions look like, and the emissions that I saw were very dark. There wasn't just a plume of steam, as so many times the polluter likes to describe their emission. This was a black, sooty, particulate kind of emission that was up there in the air that you're breathing. What's going on at Hoosier these days?
Well, right now, they are stating that when they run their process, somehow there's a certain amount of salt that's getting into their process. They even went so far as to say that it's the same kind of salt that your table salt is. And that is what is making the coloration and that afterhang, as they call it. They actually call it a tail that is hanging after the steam that you first see come out of the stack. Because what you first see is steam. And that afterhang or tail is that salt compound. And they have no idea where that salt compound is coming from.
Well, I even wonder if they're correct in their description of that, you know, what you see there in the air as being caused by salt. I don't know everything there is to know about air pollution, that's for sure, when such a profoundly complex matter. But just to claim that black emissions are caused by salt seems possibly, you know, just like they're just snowing you guys.
Well, now, just a minute. Depending on, according to them, where you're standing or where you are located around the city will depend on what color it is. You might be in one area and see it black. I might be in another area, and the way the sun is shining on it, it might look pink to me. But where they're standing at the factory, it looks white to them.
Well, I think that's got a lot to do with who you are and not what is in the sky. It's good humor here. It's nice to have a little humor when we're suffering like this. Let's talk about Ogdensburg City Hall, a little more of the suffering. Mayor Bill Nelson and the City Council, how has it gone trying to get the city government to help solve the Hoosier pollution problem?
You want a little more humor?
Yeah, let's have some humor.
Okay. When I first started, well, when he started running for mayor, the Hoosier plant had had what they call a burst. And what that meant was our whole neighborhood was covered in their red dust. Literally. our houses, we walked out and our shoes were covered because the ground was covered. And this wasn't in the wintertime, this was in the fall time. So he came to walk through our neighborhood because this was when he was looking for boats. And, he said he was going to help us and all this. And he got the company to come around and clean our cars and wash our houses. And they even bought new shoes for everybody who showed them red shoes. But after the election was a different story, because I was going down to the meetings, and we were still trying to get them because they have a very distinct hum, and one of their ball mills, and what this is, a ball mill is basically like a cement truck, the mixer part that turns around to keep the cement going around so it doesn't set. Imagine that with a product that has to be broken up. So they throw in, say, tennis-sized balls that are lead balls or metal balls, and you have this cement mixer with these pieces in there with the metal balls going around constantly. So you have that banging noise.
Right.
But that cement mixer is literally affixed to the ground, the trying to think of bedrock. And our houses are kind of basically on this bedrock too. So we keep this nice lovely sound. And our houses vibrate.
Hmm.
So we're constantly fighting about that noise and that vibration. So I was continually going to the city council for that. And it got to the point that the longer I went and the longer he is mayor, our time was cut. And then I wasn't allowed to talk for 5 minutes. It was down to 3 minutes. And then people were actually signing up to talk, and they were giving me their time. And that wasn't allowed. The last time I went to a city council meeting, I was distinctly told by the mayor that I really shouldn't bother coming anymore because he was tired of listening to me. And he wasn't going to do anything about it anyhow, so don't bother coming.
Well, that sounds like King Nelson rather than Mayor Nelson.
Yeah. Well, basically. That's about it, yeah.
Yeah, these bad kings, they're quite a problem when it comes to having to breathe dirty air that, you know, nobody should have to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And having to listen to, like you say, these ball mills attached to bedrock every, you know, every so often, much more often than, you know, occasionally for sure. Is there any light at the end of this, you know, this Ogdensburg City Hall tunnel? Because they really, you know, to me, in my mind, you know, in my reasonable way of looking at this, your reasonable way of looking at this, the rest of the community's approach, one would think that by going to the local government, they would put some pressure on DEC, you know, this is the Department of Environmental Conservation here in New York State that is responsible for the air pollution and the limitation of it. You think that by doing what you've been doing, that would work out, but it certainly is not working out.
Well, I'll give you a good example. We have a fairly new council member that lives on this street. And his wife came to a meeting. The company is now under another consent order, and part of the consent order is they needed to develop a community awareness program or a CAP program. And they didn't really understand that some people had a copy of this awareness program. So they were coming around and talking to us. And I happened to read part of the consent order that stated that if people didn't come to their meetings, that they didn't have to have them. If they missed three meetings that nobody came to, then they wouldn't have to have the meetings. So I read that, so I went around and got notified people in the neighborhood. And this one councilman's wife came to the meeting that would have, if they hadn't, anybody hadn't come to it, they would have canceled all the rest of the meetings. And she was very interested in what was going on. So she then in turn talked to her husband about what was going on at Hoosier. Well, he went back to a city council meeting and explained some of the things that were going on at Hoosier. Well, he wanted to know if the council thought that maybe they should spend a little time and you know, discussing what was happening and what they could do to, you know, help out the neighbors and help out DEC a little bit more and, you know, get more involved. And it seems the mayor felt that, no, that wasn't necessary. They did not need to get involved with that anymore. There was nothing more they needed to do. So that was the end of that discussion. And the council person, from what I understand now, is not going to be running again.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a connection there. It's truly too bad that I see a lot of good science being done by part of our country, you know, part of our, you know, American society. I see some few good government people doing some good things. You know, some up high in the national government, some of them down in the local county and town governments. But you also see so much of this kind of behavior that you're talking about right here, this matter of politicians not helping out with these pollution problems, of the regulatory parts of government not helping out when they don't get any support from the politicians. It's very frustrating, and I keep concluding that industry runs the government as well as the economy, and that, you know, we're really in quite a fight here. Let's talk about, you know, some of the health problems there.
Just a minute, please.
Okay.
There's also a flip side to this. Now, you see, the city council helped Hoosier get a grant to figure out whether the city's wastewater could help the plant's cooling system work. And in the process, that grant was gotten, and the city workers helped put through the line from the city waste plant to the Hoosier facility. Just recently, the city also helped the factory get a $100,000 loan through the city growth plan, I think it was. Count me on that one, exactly. But they did get some money through the city. So you see, the city will help them when it's good for the city.
Yeah, they truly continue to, they're actually increasing their kind of their role and their responsibility. They're becoming more and more a partner with Hoosier in poisoning you guys, and it's really, really bad what they're doing. There are people in your neighborhood with cancer. I want to share their stories with our listeners. Can you just share some of what you have learned from your neighbors about the cancers they suffer?
Well, the first person was Paul Alone. He's the gentleman that got me involved with this. He used to live two houses down from me. And he basically showed me what was going on. And he fought with them. They made him look like the dumbest, meanest person in the neighborhood. And his wife was one of the nicest women around. And before he died, that poor man, he had cancer all through his body. And his house is basically two houses away from their open airway, which basically means his house got a direct hit from almost anything that was coming out of their building. And his body was just totally engulfed in cancer. Of course, you can't say that it, you know, came from Hoosier. There's one, two, three houses past him. another very lovely older lady had to have her lungs washed out. An older couple across the street from her, husband and wife, 2 years ago, both were battling cancer. Right now, they're surviving. Three houses up from them, an older gentleman, upwind, is surviving cancer. To a block and a half up, an older woman, mid-60s, just died last year. Now, she never smoked. Her husband never smoked. Nobody in her household never smoked. She died of lung cancer. Coming back my way, two houses down, going down towards the opposite end of the street. The woman is surviving cancer at the moment. They don't know how long she's going to. She was just diagnosed last year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 houses. My mother-in-law died last year. Lung cancer. 12 houses, approximately, maybe 13, 14 houses. My husband's best friend's mother, diagnosed the same day my mother-in-law was. Died of lung cancer last year. 2 weeks within the time of my mother-in-law. They're all within this line of when the direct line, as I say, of the stacks. Basically one stack right now because they haven't even been able to run the second stack. These are the people that we know about. A lot of the people that have lived in this neighborhood have moved out for fear. People that have young children since the 90s have moved out. This has become a renter's neighborhood. So we don't know how many people. I know that there are people that have lived here who have had children who have developed asthma-like symptoms. And they have moved out, and their children's symptoms have depleted, diminished. I know people who themselves have lived here in the neighborhood who have had asthma-like symptoms or other symptoms, allergy-type symptoms, that when they have left the area, they have not had these symptoms anymore. I know myself, when I go to visit my brother in Georgia, my asthma is a lot better. I myself have asthma because I walked through one of their clouds one night in 2003, and I had to go because I literally, my throat basically almost closed up, and I had to go to a doctor that the firemen here in Ogdensburg go to because the hospital didn't know what to do, and they sent me there. So, I mean, our neighborhood is not very healthy, and if right now we're going around, because this is what the DEC told us to do, we go around in the morning, we go around in the afternoon if we see it, we literally follow these, they call them clouds. We call it smoke when we call it in. We see it, we follow it, we tell them where it is. And I feel so ridiculous doing it. But the DEC needs to know where it is. The DEC needs to know that we're calling it in because they need to know that Hoosier is getting these complaints and that they're, you know, that they're writing it down, they're cataloging it, so that when the DEC goes in to check their records, they need to know that that's been written down. Because I keep a log on my calendar. That was one thing I was told a long time ago. If you are seeing something If you write it on your calendar, that's like writing it on a legal document. I turned in almost 20 years of calendars not too long ago to the DEC. They had to decipher my code, but they took them. So we're still fighting. And I told, they've started these meetings up at Hoosier, and I told them the other night, I've been here before they were, and I'll keep fighting. I don't mind if they're still here as long as they're working within the guidelines they're supposed to be. But until they do, I'll keep fighting.
Factory air pollution is so very much a matter of what goes up the smokestack. Hoosier suspected of being a major source of particulate emissions years ago when DEC attempted to stack test the smokestack at the facility. They were unable to get that done because the particulates plugged up the testing equipment. Why have so many years passed since that first attempt without any stack testing getting done?
Oh. Because of the legal mumbo-jumbo and lawyers and all this other stuff. And part of it was 9/11. Because the equipment that they needed to use to prove that all this stuff in the neighborhood was from Hoosier was being used to identify people from 9/11. And so once that was not needed for that, they came through our neighborhood in 2003 and literally took samples from probably a good 5-mile radius and proved to Hoosier that this was their stuff in our neighborhood. And so once they could not deny that, and they went in and raided that place, so to speak. They found out that they weren't keeping records. They were, you know, all the stuff that they weren't doing that they could put them in the consent order again. And once that consent order was signed, they could stop them on some things, but they had to let them continue what they were doing until they could get the stack test done. And right now, because of the so-called salt problem, they have to get the salt problem handled before they can do another stack test, or it won't be able to, the equipment will plug up again. And that's what, you know, it's the problem. They can't do the stack test until the salt's done. They can't, you know. So DEC is basically kind of tugging and pulling at them. I don't know how long they're going to let it go like this, because I know they're really getting upset with them.
Well, it's been years. I remember back when I was more involved, because I was around more. I've been spending some time out west, Letty. But when I was here living in St. Lawrence County a large part of the time and coming to those Ogdensburg City Council meetings that you were speaking at, and I was speaking at occasionally about Hoosier, and the, you know, when I was around, and it was years ago, I'm thinking, you know, several years ago, maybe as many as 5 years ago, that's when I first learned about that failed stack test because of the particulate plugging problem. And here we are, you know, all these years later, and very, very bad behavior coming from industry and government.
Mm-hmm.
After this hard struggle trying to get government to bring about the reductions in the particulate emissions coming from Hoosier, what is your thinking on government regulation of industrial air pollution?
Well, part of it is you have to take a good hard look at the people that you're voting into and you're voting into office in your community. Then you have to take a good hard look at the people that you're voting into office for you to represent you in Albany. Because a lot of things happen when the change of command happens. I've seen the DEC go from being able to do a lot of things to barely being able to do anything because of chain of command and change of command. And it really frustrates the people at the DEC when they can basically only go in there and go, you can't do that, but they can't do anything more because they don't have anything behind them. And then the change of command comes in again, and they get more people to work and more people to help, and then they can do something again. And then the chain of command gets changed again, and then they get cut back again. So I think people need to stand up and take responsibility for who they're voting into office and really look at who they're voting into office. Don't just look at that little flyer and see them holding up a fish and them saying, oh, we look out for nature and we look out for, you know, this and that and being green, because that's just them standing with a fish. Who knows if the fish was even alive, you know? Who knows that background is even real?
Yep.
Make sure that that person really believes in being green before you vote for him.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think it's a very strange and basically confusing time right now, because, you know, supposedly, you know, I just keep hearing all these people, you know, so many people in the libraries, in these public places, you hear them talking about these environmental issues. They seem to be kind of interested and concerned and excited and have some human, positive, good energy for this environmental area that we're talking about. And yet we just keep seeing the real stuff. You know, forget the people talking. When we see the stuff that's happening, the stuff that gets done, you see this pollution still coming out of Hoosier?
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Walmart parking lot yesterday afternoon there in Ogdensburg, and I smell this really strong plastic burning fumes, and I, you know, get out of there and I start looking for the fire, and sure enough, somebody's burning trash down there at the end of Wadham Street off Proctor Avenue, you know, right there in the city, and it's
mm-hmm.
this big cloud of black smoke. And then I call DEC, and they say this is a habitual problem. You know, what's going on? That everybody's supposed to be green, everybody
mm-hmm.
loves the Earth Mother, and yet they keep doing all this poisoning, polluting stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a good example right here on Washington Street. You wouldn't believe when I went up and down the street that day to let people know that they needed to come to this meeting because Hoosier was doing this again. I had people sitting and listening to me. I had one young girl. She's a senior in high school. Her grandmother has very bad asthma. Her uncle, I don't know exactly where he lives. But he was up a weekend ago, and he was asking about Hoosier because he had seen the smoke and everything. And she said, oh, my uncle would really be glad. My dad should go to this because my uncle was ready to go right down there and have it out with those people. And she was going to see if her grandmother could come too or whatever. And then when it came time to come down there, I actually had two people show up. Now, what happened to this girl's father, or maybe her mother, or some of these other people that sat down with me and listened to me and agreed with me and, oh yeah, that's really bad, you know, we should do something about it. What happened to them?
Strange
you know.
Times. Can't answer it.
So, I mean, instead of just shaking your head and nodding yes, you know, put your foot out there and take another step and follow another step and actually do something about it.
Yeah, the green talk is nice to hear, but people
mm-hmm.
really are going to have to start, like you say, taking the steps, doing these, you know, talking and doing are two different things,
mm-hmm.
and we got to get the doing going, or it's going to be pretty sick around a lot more places.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate the interview, Rena, and
mm-hmm.
you guys sure are, you know, the warriors, you know, just to continue doing this all these years, and I just wish you the best, and Cancer Action is going to get back into the fray a bit with Hoosier, and this is our first program in this series that we're going to call something along the lines of shutting down the industrial criminals or stopping the industrial criminals or something, because there are industries that are out there that are polluting, but they're trying to control their emissions, and then there are others that are out there polluting, and they just pollute as they damn well please, And we certainly got to at least get some traction on shutting down, you know, those bad guys.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, thanks, Rita.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.